Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tanatva mantra gurun. Gurun Bhagavata Arta Dan. Sri Bhagavata Sandarbham. Sandarbham Vashmi Lekitum.
This is the last verse of the Mangalacharana. Now I bow down to my initiating spiritual master and to my other spiritual masters who taught me the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And having thus bowed down, I proclaim my intent to write this encyclopedic work, Sri Bhagavata Sandarbha. There's one peculiar thing here. Mantra gurun is plural. Bowing down to my mantra gurus. Now, as far as I could figure it out, I don't think he's talking about more than one guru. He's just being respectful. Does anybody know, I don't know, who his mantra guru is? Right, there's opinion, but not certain. And the other opinion? Okay. Is there any reason why we should take this to mean more than one mantra guru? After Krishna's Kaviraj tells us that there's only one mantra guru. Yes. You mean his father may have been his mantra guru? Well, okay. See, that's not our problem. Our problem, I'm just asking if anybody knows, because that would help us figure it out. You know, we don't know for certain who his guru is. But what I'm really confused about is there any intention being said here that he had more than one mantra guru? Yes?
No, well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, but why does Krishna's Kaviraj say that you can only have one mantra guru, one diksha guru? You know, the actual diksha is one. You may get additional mantras for doing worship, for archana, but you only get one diksha. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, he was a baby when his father died, or a very small boy. Yeah, he was not yet in his teens, yeah. Yes. Hold the microphone up. Yeah. Doesn't work, okay.
In the case of, I think it was... Baladeva Vidyabhushana who, or... Yeah, Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he was initiated in Madhava Sampradaya, and later on he took Vaishnava mantra.
That's reinitiation.
Especially,
yes.
Radha Krishna mantra. And before he was a sannyasi, it means that he got already all possible mantras.
Well, that's a kind of reinitiation when you move up to a better sampradaya. I don't think that. Is the case of Jiva Goswami. He didn't switch sampradayas. So, I just want to confirm, because this book is going to get published soon. I want to catch any mistakes. I'm just saying that it's one spiritual master. And we don't have to identify him. That's not our job. Okay. Dharmadipu.
What about the Mordekai of Bhagavad Gita? Can we
additional apposition saying that it is just like a different mantra guru. Maybe it doesn't indicate to Diksha Guru, it indicates to the different gurus who explain Bhagavata.
Well, I take it to be different gurus because he repeats the word guru. He says mantra guru and then gurun bhagavatartadan. So he says guru twice. If that must be other gurus. I made that plural, but I think that's okay. He must have had more, at least more than one person taught him Bhagavatam. Okay, I think we're safe to translate what we have. Yes.
Prabhupada, he writes in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Narada Muni, he didn't have even guru.
And Narada?
Today, yes. Today morning you said that these Bhaktivedantas, Vaishnavas, they gave him mantra. And as far as I understand, it's like all of them, they were guru for him. It's like we can we apply this situation to Jiva Goswami?
Oh,
I mean, well, okay, he had only one guru,
now,
but
maybe, you know, I can't remember. Does Prabhupada actually say that they gave him mantra?
Yeah, in 9th chapter, I can find it.
But you said Narada did not have an initiating guru.
Prabhupada, he writes that Narada Muni, he didn't have even guru, something like that. I can find it.
Okay, well, anyway, this gets complicated. I think we should proceed, and we can discuss this question, you know, do some research on it. We can discuss it again tomorrow, maybe. About Narada Muni. Maybe in Bhagavatam class you can bring it up, since we're discussing that in Bhagavatam class. I made a statement today. Maybe it was wrong. I thought something was said by Prabhupada about them giving him mantra, not just... They didn't just hear instructions from him, but they actually got mantra from him. From them. And from them would mean from one of them. Not that they all collectively gave him initiation. I mean, it must have been that one of the, if he got initiation, it must have been from one of those sages. Yes, I don't see precedent for a group of devotees all giving initiation to the same disciple, the same, you know. Yes.
In the case of Kumara Sampradaya, we have four Kumaras and they gave initiation to...
Well, according to them, I think Sanat Kumara is the initiating guru in their line.
Eldest of them.
Yeah, not all four.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jeremy, did you say what you were going to say?
Did receive a mantra from them.
He did, okay.
I mean,
I can't always remember exactly where I heard things from Prabhupada. Catch me if I say something that's wrong, but I'm just saying things I remember from Prabhupada, but I can't tell you where. Okay.
Vyasadeva himself was a disciple of Naradaji, and therefore it was natural to be anxious to hear what Narada did after initiation from the spiritual masters, plural. He wanted to know, to follow Narada's footsteps in order to attain the same perfect stage of life. This desire to inquire, etc.
Yes. Okay. One of them, you know, just like you say, you know, the Rishi said, but it's not that they were all reciting in unison. It probably was Shonaka speaking. Rishi Uchu. Commentary. Let's see what we have here. It's not long. Let me just read it. There is an ancient precedent in the rituals of Vedic sacrifice for declaring one's sankalpa, or solemn intent to carry out some sacred work. A brahmana who utters the sankalpa at the beginning of a fire sacrifice is obliged to adhere to his word by finishing the sacrifice at all cost. In the complex soma sacrifices, the yajamana, the person paying for the sacrifice and on whose behalf the sacrifice is performed, chants the sankalpa mantras and accepts a danda, a wooden rod symbolic of his vow, and a deer skin on which he must sit throughout the ritual performances to remain pure. And they give him a buffalo horn also. You know what that's for? Because he's not supposed to touch his face. It's impure. So if he has to scratch himself, he uses the horn. Okay. Continuing. The uncommon word Sandarbha, which appears in the title of this work and in the current verse as a descriptive term. Because he says Sandarbha twice. Sandarbham, Sandarbham. The one is the name, Bhagavat Sandarbha, and the other one, it's a Sandarbha, a common noun. So what's a Sandarbha? It's been defined as follows. I don't have reference, I don't know where it's defined, but the verse is there. Gudartasya prakashascha sarokti shreshtata tata nanarta vatvam vedyatvam sandarbhat kachyate buddhaihi. I'm sorry, could you move forward? Make a little room in the back. It's hot out there, you don't have a fan. Okay, translation. The wise call a composition a sandarbha when it shines light on a deep subject, concentrates on essentials, excels in composition, imparts a variety of complex ideas, and expresses itself lucidly. Literally, the word sandarbha means stringing together. That's what the verb sandrib means. To string together, like making a garland. In the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami has explained Srimad Bhagavatam not by commenting on each verse one after another as normally done, but by systematically presenting various topics which he painstakingly develops by stringing together relevant verses from the entire Bhagavatam, along with his own elucidations and those of other commentators. Can you hold on a second? I have to write a comment. I see a problem here. Okay. The definition that's given in that verse for Sandarbha sounds similar to the definition of a sutra. It says, shines light on a deep subject, gudartasya prakasha, concentrates on essentials, sarokti, shreshtata, excels in composition, nanarta vatvam, imparts a variety of complex ideas, and expresses itself lucidly, vedyatvam, it can be understood. That doesn't really, that those are qualities of a Sandarbha, but it doesn't say what is a Sandarbha as opposed to some other form of composition. I guess this definition has the idea that a Sandarbha is just a concise way of expression of something. But the other idea is that a Sandarbha is when you draw together information from many different places and tie it together in some logical order. That's also a Sandarbha. Okay. That's the last verse of the Mangalacharna. Then he actually begins. It's another verse, but this verse is actually introducing the topics and starting the actual Sandarbha. Are there any questions about the current verse? Yes.
Maybe just an idea of gudatasya, that one of the aspects of sandarbha that it could be like it's shining light on like hidden meanings or secret meanings.
Secret meanings, yes.
Yeah. I think here we got like a shines light on a deep subject.
You think it's secret meanings?
Like, yeah, kind of like...
Where would we find some secret meanings? Hidden in a treasure chest? It's like a commentary on something
unclear.
That's secret?
Yeah, like meanings which are unclear or meanings which are hard to understand.
Okay, maybe not secret, but hard to understand.
Yeah.
I mean, secret would mean like the book was written intentionally so people couldn't understand it. You know, and only one person is allowed to understand it and discover the treasure. No, it's not that. It's not secret. But it may be difficult to understand.
Yeah, shining light. Like he may be quoting some difficult verse of the Bhagavatam, which the meaning's not easy to understand, but then the sandarbha will shine light in it.
How about if we say difficult subject?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to make a note. We'll probably make that change. Unfortunately, this book is going to get published. We're going to send it to Sweden within a month. And we're not going to be able to go very far in 1 month. So we're not going to catch all these things throughout the book. Hold on a second. Let me do this again. Okay, insert a comment. Got it. Okay, any other questions before we move on to the next verse? Yes. Sorry, Kipper.
Just also small comment about Mantra Gurun. So maybe in the case of Raghunandana Goswami, they had a family guru, Raghunandana Acharya and Balarama Acharya, and maybe because Shri Yoga Goswami, he is coming from the family of Sarasvata Brahmanas, as well as his father's Rupa and Sanatana Goswami.
Yes.
Maybe he got this Gayatri Mantra, Brahmanical initiation from this Kula Guru, family guru, one of them.
Well, that happened with many of the associates from Lord Chaitanya. May have had initiation from somebody else before.
Yeah.
But if the initiation was a bona fide Vaishnava initiation, that's it. They were initiated. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to get initiated again. Then they would accept associates of Mahaprabhu as their Shiksha Gurus. They were already initiated. If the initiation wasn't valid, then they would go ahead and get a real initiation. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they would just get reinitiated just as unless the previous one was invalid or was from some other sampradaya where they didn't worship Radha Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Krishnadas Kaviraj make this definite statement, you only have one Diksha Guru, if that's not the case?
No, I'm thinking about just about Gayatri initiation because Gayatri, because Gayatri is also mantra.
Yeah, but see, you have to distinguish between the Brahma Gayatri mantra, which is you get it Upanayanam. You know, a Brahmin boy at the age before around the age of 5 or 8 gets the Upanayanam, and he's given the Brahma Gayatri mantra. That is not diksha. Vaishnav Diksha is to receive Gopal mantra or some other equivalent mantra, Vaishnav mantra. The Brahma Gayatri is not the Vaishnav mantra. It's not and getting it is not Diksha. It's just Upanayanam. Therefore, you can have both of those. But that Gayatri mantra, getting that doesn't count as actual Diksha. So it's just a samskara.
So we cannot call Guru who is giving Gayatri mantra, also Mantra Guru, we cannot call it in this way?
The guru is giving Gayatri mantra. I'm sorry, isn't that one?
Can you call him also mantra guru?
You shouldn't. Not properly. The one who gives you the Vaishnava mantra, he's the Diksha Guru. That's why we're going by the statement of our authority. You only have one Diksha Guru, so we have to avoid talking about more than one Diksha Guru, because we're told not to. We're told that we're only supposed to have one Diksha Guru. That's the one who gives you the Vaishnava mantra. Other mantras you get, that's okay, but that's not the Diksha. You get other mantras for Archana, you get your Upanayanam so you can be considered a Brahmana. That's okay, but that's not Diksha. Diksha is when you get the Gopal mantra, or whatever mantra you get.
Also, some related question is about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He already got some, I don't remember exactly which one, mantra from his father in order to worship Kurma Deva Deity. And then after that he approached to Srila Guru Kshurdas Babaji and took real
when he was 7 years old, his father gave him the Kurma mantra. But then he sent him later to get initiated from Gorkha. So that means he wasn't considered that he had Diksha. Yeah. He had a mantra, but that was just for Archana, for worship. Uh-huh. He had Nrsingha mantra also from Bhaktivinoda, Kurma and Nrsingha, but that wasn't, Bhaktivinoda didn't consider that Diksha. He says, for Diksha, I want you to go to Gaurakishore, don't take it from me.
So, and in this way, can it be also, I'm just trying to figure out.
Yes.
Is it correct to tell that in the case of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, because he received many mantras, or some of them were also Vaishnava mantra for worshipping, so can he also consider Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur his mantra guru and Kishorodas Babaji Maharaj his mantra guru? And in this case, it can be plural, many mantra gurus.
Well, okay, maybe mantra gurus means they just gave you various mantras. It could be, but I have no way of telling unless someone actually knows more history of Jiva Goswami than I know. I can tell me. Please let me know. The book's going to be finished and sent off to the printer. For now, I'm making it. Even though it's plural, I'm just taking it as respectful and turning it into one Diksha Guru. Someone's going to complain after the book gets published that I'm wrong. But what can I do? Yes.
There's even in Jiva Goswami's grammar, then he gives the example Guruvaha Samadishanti.
Yes.
The Guru orders.
And but it's one Guru in that case.
Guru, yeah. So he himself has done it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Madan Mohanpur?
Hare Krishna, if we consider the person who gives us Harinam Diksha as a Diksha Guru as well, we call him Nama Guru.
Well,
but looks like we do consider him a Diksha Guru in some sense.
Yes. My understanding, I did some research for the GBC about this 5 years ago. Not that I got all the definitive answers, but I did some research. My understanding is that there's one Diksha process. But when we have two initiations, we're actually splitting the Diksha into two parts. It's the same Diksha, but two parts of it. It would be normal for the same guru to give both those initiations because they're actually two parts of the same initiation. The normal thing would be to take them both from the same guru. We have exceptional situations where that doesn't happen. Then in that case, technically the person who finishes the process by giving the actual mantra would be the Diksha Guru, technically.
Because we have the... I think in Srila Prabhupada's case, at least I know of one example of him initiating, giving Nama Diksha to one of his disciples and then sending him off to one of his godbrothers deliberately, or kind of complying with his request to Bhaktivedanta Madhava Maharaj, and he sent him off to that godbrother and said, okay, you can take Diksha, mantra Diksha from him.
Okay, but in that case, I don't think that was Prabhupada's idea, that was the disciples' idea.
I think it was, but Prabhupada...
And then Prabhupada recognized, okay... I think even I remember hearing the Prabhupada spoke something like this, that you have affinity for him, go to him.
It's a letter.
Which means let him be your Diksha Guru. I don't have to do it. Uh-huh. I won't be your Diksha Guru. He'll be your Diksha Guru since you're attracted to him. Uh-huh. After he gave first initiation, he let the disciple who wanted to go get second initiation from a godbrother. But then that godbrother would be his actual Diksha Guru.
So from the technical point of view, the latter Vaishnava becomes his Diksha Guru. But if for a disciple, for instance, if he feels grateful to both of them somehow, and he can he legitimately call both of them his
No one's going to stop him. No one's going to, you know, give him a fine for speaking the wrong words. But technically, he's wrong. Technically, the person who gives the second initiation, which includes the actual Vaishnav mantra, this is the Pancharatrika process. Although Harinam is transcendental to that, but technically, according to Pancharatra process, the actual Diksha, the Pancharatrika Diksha is when you get the Vishnu mantra, the other Gayatri mantras.
If I remember correctly, Prabhupada...
But, you know, so a devotee... But the thing is, a devotee may feel special allegiance to a Shiksha Guru. He may have a closer relationship with a Shiksha Guru than with his Diksha Guru. That is possible. But technically, so-and-so is the Diksha Guru.
If I remember correctly, Prabhupada created a lot of... or quite some controversy by among his godbrothers by stating that the actual... Diksha is the Harinam Diksha, and that's what he...
Yes, Prabhupada generally... He said... Did he say that?
I think I saw it on record.
Okay. I just heard a lecture last night where Prabhupada gave the more traditional presentation, and he said that, you know, we give someone Harinam and that's a trial, and then a year later we actually accept him as our disciple. He said that also. I heard it last night on the lecture. Actually, my understanding is that it's a two-step, you know, the initiation, there's one initiation, it's been split into two parts. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did that. So there's not two, it's really not two different initiations anyway. It's one initiation given at two times. Yes. Well, that's what I'm presuming here. Maybe I'm wrong. It says Mantra Guru. It doesn't say Diksha Guru. The verse says Mantra Guru. The person who gives you the Kurma Mantra, the Nishinga Mantra, this and that, all these different Puja Mantras could also be... They're giving you mantras. They're gurus. But they're not Diksha Guru. Yes.
So now I understand, because I couldn't understand. Is Mantra Guru equivalent to Diksha Guru, or are they, like, these terms different or same? What does it mean?
Diksha Guru and Mantra. I don't think we have any GBC resolutions or, you know, strict rules being given to us by the great acharyas about how to use the word Mantra Guru. It's just Diksha. Krishna Kaviraj is fussy about who you call your Diksha Guru, that you only have one. Am I right? He used the word Diksha. Diksha and Shiksha, right? Or did he use... But as far as the terminology Mantra Guru, that is not so strictly regulated, I think. Could you check the Chaitanya Charitamrita?
You mentioned that during many of the associates of Lord Mahaprabhu, they were previously initiated, and afterwards they took only the Shiksha from associates of Lord Chaitanya.
In some cases.
Some cases. Yeah. So after that, in the more recent times and in the present times, how does it work? Like, if we had got Upanayanam and the Gayatri initiation from Vaishnavas or bona fide Sampradaya, then how does it work?
Well, there's no simple, hard rule about that either. It really has to be decided by the guru and the disciple how they're going to handle it. That you approach an ISKCON guru and you've already have Vaishnava initiation. It has to be, the individual case has to be judged carefully. And I've seen, you know, in some cases the guru decides not to give the same initiation again. And in some cases he does. It depends on the individual situation.
So it's
also discretionary. It's individual choice. The guru decides. He takes the responsibility for making the decision.
So even if we take...
There's no hard rule that it has, you know, that has, you know, it really is up to the discretion of the guru to decide.
So even if we take again the Gayatri initiation from our guru, from whom we got the Nama initiation, isn't that, is that an offense to the Vaishnava whom of that other sampradaya which we got the Gayatri Mantra from?
No, no, because the Upanayanam is not on the same level. It's just a karmakanda. Okay, no, it's not just a karmakanda, but it's karma. It's not bhakti. The reception of the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. So you can still get second initiation from an ISKCON guru because the package includes other mantras. And so the guru can be considering that, okay, you already have this first mantra, but I'm giving you the other ones. So the second initiation can still be done, even for someone who already has Brahma Gayatri. Just like there are some cases in ISKCON where the parents have given Upanayanam to their own sons, they're still going to get second initiation from somebody else later on. The GBC, when I was there last time, they decided to put a moratorium on that from complaints by Bhakti Vidya Purnamaraj. They agreed to say that ISKCON parents should stop doing that for now.
Yes?
That this Brahma Gayatri, the value of Brahma Gayatri depends on who gives it. In other words, they give different siddhanta, different idea to it.
And the same mantra.
Yeah, and therefore in this convo we re-give Brahma Gayatri, we give it with a Vaishnava siddhanta in
right.
Gold.
But okay, if you get a mantra but aren't given full understanding of it, do you need to get the mantra again, or you just need to get instruction?
The point is that he was, as far as I remember, reading the commentaries by Satyanarayan Prabhu on that. So he was quoting some Purana, I think Agni Purana, where it stated that Brahma Gayatri can be used for worshiping any deity, and the particular deity for which it's used to worship is given by the person who gives the mantra. In other words, the sambandha is given by the consciousness of the person who
right,
gives it
to us.
Right,
but can that sambandha be changed without reinitiation? Anyway, Upanayanam can be re-given. There is in the Manusmriti, it says that if a Brahmin boy accidentally drinks from a bottle that had liquor in it, he should get his Upanayanam over again. So you know there is stipulation looser, like there's more scope for getting reinitiation in the Karmakanda level, that you know for slight infractions you may have to get reinitiated. You get the Brahma Gayatri again. We don't so easily encourage Vaishnavas to get reinitiated, only in case that the initiation was not valid, or the guru suffered a very severe fall down and became inimical.
Let's say if a boy received Upanayana in his childhood in Brahma Gayatri Mantra by his parents who worship Durga, say,
yeah.
And then when he comes to
his but Brahma Gayatri is not always given for worshiping anybody. It's given just as a samskara, and it's a requirement for beginning any Vedic education. It doesn't have to be connected to any worship.
But it has to be connected to some pradaya of particular kind, otherwise it's nishpalamataha.
It can just be, you know, a smarta sampradaya. Just, you know, karmakanda, smarta initiation.
Like in,
which doesn't involve any worship.
Like in narrow place, sometimes people play tapes of, not narrow place, I cannot place, they play this Om Burbhuva Swaha Tatsavitra, musical performance.
Call me on the phone and my son has put that on as the ringtone.
So I get accidentally initiated. Some kind of. It looks like if we accept it like that, then the Brahma Gayatri which they gave with the idea of worshipping Durga Devi or sun god, or just a generic Vedic samskara,
yes,
then we can come to ISKCON and we can get the same Brahma Gayatri but with entirely different goal of worshiping different deities, different mantra technically.
What about the case of Gopakumara who gave him the mantra? Durga Devi gave him the mantra. Yeah, okay, you got it right from the deity. She gave him the mantra in his dream when Lord Vishnu's incarnation Jayanta became his guru. He didn't reinitiate him. He just gave him further instructions. Durga Devi gave him the mantra but didn't tell him what it was about. She didn't give him any instruction. That's part of the pastime, to leave him in ignorance so he would, you know, be wandering around trying to find out who his deity was. But he got instructions from Jayanta, but he didn't give him reinitiation. He just explained what the proper deity of the mantra is and how to worship him.
But
No, she gave him Gopal mantra, and I don't know what she told him about Gopal, does she? I'm sorry, I can't. She gave him a Gopal mantra. She did give him the mantra again, you're right. Yeah. Maybe she just told him the mantra, but that wasn't... Anyway, yeah, he got reinitiated. Okay, I'm just asking. I don't know. If you're given a mantra, but given it to worship the wrong deity, or, you know, you want to change later, do you need to get the mantra again, or you just need to get instruction? I don't know. Misusing the mantra, or, you know, you want to apply it to a different use, do you have to get a reinitiation?
So Bhaktivedanta,
there are cases where ISKCON devotees, ISKCON gurus, have decided not to give the second initiation again to devotees who got from a serious Vaishnava, and that was for worship of Lakshmi Narayan or some other form, and still the decision was made not to give the same mantra again. Was that right or wrong? I don't know.
Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj, during those hot times when people were arguing a lot about reinitiation at the end of 90s, he was making a point. I heard him saying that Ekanishtha Adhikari is supposed to receive both Shiksha and Diksha again because his faith is very komala, very unstable, and he has to reconfirm it by both processes, whereas Madhyama Adhikari has to continue receiving Shiksha.
Yes. Yes.
And automatically he doesn't have to take any of those because he cannot be source of both for other people.
Okay.
But the discerning the level, a particular level of a yes. prospective candidate is up to the spiritual master.
Okay. So really, it has to be left to the discretion of the guru, who can tell what level the disciple's on and what he requires as an individual. It's not a hard rule for the same for everybody. Yes.
Just about that terminology, mantra guru and diksha guru.
Yes.
So
in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, he uses mantra guru. He says mantra guru arayata shiksha guru gan. So mantra guru is singular. And then
okay, so he uses mantra guru, and yeah. and there's only supposed to be one.
Yeah, it's in the singular here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a place. Maybe it's not exactly the same place you're looking at where he says you only have one.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it. I know okay. the place you're talking about. Yeah.
Maybe in the purport.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can use the term, we can understand mantra guru to be diksha guru then. Okay. Yes, sir.
So in ISKCON, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also split this process of initiation into two parts. And we have, for example, devotee who receive it only first initiation, Nama initiation, and can we still consider guru who gave him only first initiation his Diksha guru because he didn't receive yet second initiation, which is supposed to be making him Diksha disciple?
So
we can tell that he is my Diksha guru even though he didn't give me second initiation.
Yes. You mean, okay, you're talking about someone who has not yet taken second initiation.
Yeah.
Okay, technically he's only half initiated.
No.
Yeah, because it hasn't been finished. The process hasn't been finished. Because to finish it, you got to do both parts. Mm-hmm. And normally, it would be the same guru to be the initiator in both first and second, normally.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that one devotee, he was telling that not everybody will get second initiation, for example, if he is not sincere enough or if he doesn't have brahmanical qualifications in order to receive second initiation. So he may remain half initiation.
Well, let's not say half initiation. Let's just say...
At the end of his life, does it mean that he will have to take another birth, he's not going to go to the spiritual world, or just Nama initiation is enough to go to the spiritual world?
Sorry, hold on a second. I don't think it's that. Sorry. I don't think it's that you cannot go to the spiritual world without second initiation. We're not told that. Second initiation you require to formally worship the deity and to study the Vedas. You can still go back to Godhead. And that's all that matters anyway. You can be, Krishna can accept you as his devotee, even if you're not a full-fledged Brahmana. That's okay. The more important than being a Brahman is being recognized by Krishna as his devotee.
But in this case, it must mean that he has to develop very strong relationships with the Holy Name, because otherwise he has to be very sincere in order to go to the spiritual world.
Everybody has to.
Yeah.
Also, those who've got 50 initiations, they've got to be careful too. Everybody has to, take full shelter of the Holy Name. All your upadis won't save you. Harinam will save you.
And the Diksha, second initiation, helps us to develop this faith into Holy Name and to develop proper sambandha while chanting Holy Name.
Yes. It's a great facility. It's a standard process. It makes you officially a Brahmana to get, the whole initiation. But even someone without it can be accepted by Krishna as his devotee. That's Krishna's decision. And many people who've got all the formalities wrapped up have got so many titles. Krishna's not satisfied with them. Okay, we'll stop now. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Shat Sandarbha Ki Jai.